coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of John. We are reaching the last chapter of the first letter of John. It has been an interesting journey as we listened to the Apostle's writing and reflected on his teachings about Jesus Christ, true man and true God, who came into the world to save sinners. We also came across with the beautiful display of God's great love, which he poured into our lives, love that is meant to flood the lives of our neighbor too. Let us turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? John introduces the subject of the victorious life. The Bible uses many terms to describe what Christians are. They are called believers, friends, brothers, sheep, saints, soldiers, witnesses, and so forth. John highlights one particular term in this chapter of his letter, the overcomer. The word comes from the verb to conquer or to have victory. Of the 24 times the word occurs in the New Testament, John uses it 21 times. Several different forms of this term appear in 1 John chapter 5 to emphasize the victorious nature of the believer. Saving faith is the first characteristic of the overcomer. Believers have been born of God through baptism and the Word of God. From this new birth results an ongoing faith. Faith gives evidence of the new birth. Since all believers are born of God, they are all one family of God. All who have fellowship with God by faith in Jesus also share in the fellowship with one another. The children of God will manifest the reality that they have been born again by continuing to believe in God's Son, the Savior Jesus Christ. Love is the second characteristic of the overcomer. The overcomer not only believes in God, but also loves both God and fellow believers. Obedience to God's commandments is the third characteristic of the overcomer. The love of God is so powerful that it inspires and enables the believer to keep the commandments. But only those who keep God's commandments by loving their brother truly walk in God's love. John states that God's commandments are not burdensome. In contrast to the many and detailed commands and regulations found in the Old Testament, and in contrast to the burdensome man-made religious traditions of the Jewish leaders, the yoke of Jesus is easy and the burden is light. With the gospel, believers cannot help but love one another. It is what children of God naturally do. The apostle says, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." John clearly defines who the overcomers are. They are all who have been born of God and believe that Jesus is God's Son. The overcomers are believers, all of them. As mentioned earlier, the word overcome derives from a Greek verb meaning to conquer, to have victory, to have superiority, conquering power. The victory is demonstrable. It involves overthrowing an enemy so that the victory is seen by all. Jesus also used this word to describe himself. Because believers are united to Christ, they too partake in his victory. Who is the believer's enemy? It is the world, the unbelieving world with its idols, philosophies, set of values and priorities. The world is Satan's worldwide system of deception and wickedness. Through Christ and his provision of salvation, the believer is a victor over the invisible system of demonic and human evil that Satan operates to capture people and lead them to hell. Faith in Jesus Christ, constant meditation on God's word, and prayer make a believer an overcomer. Summing up what has been considered so far, we can say, the children of God bear the family traits of their brother Jesus. He has faith, love, and victory over the world. The world tempts us to think of our Lord's commandments as a burden, too hard and too heavy for us to bear. The world seems too much for us to overcome. But our Lord Jesus has overcome the world for us. He has fulfilled all of God's commandments for us. He made himself our human brother, that through him we might become the children of his Father and share in his great family of love. John continues to write in his first letter, chapter 5, verses 6 to 12. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth, for there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. The theme of this text is the testimony of God and the Spirit to the world regarding the great truth of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. The previous passage described overcomers as those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God and Savior. Here John presents God's own testimony to confirm that Jesus is the Christ. He gives two kinds of testimony, one external and another internal. Water and blood constitute external or objective testimony to who Jesus Christ is. Water refers to Jesus' baptism and blood to Jesus' death. John also says that the Spirit testifies, because the Spirit is truth. Just as Jesus is the truth, so also his Holy Spirit is the truth. The Spirit testified at the baptism of Jesus, asserting that he was the Christ to come and the Son of God. The Holy Spirit reminds every believer of all that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit always testifies to Jesus and glorifies Jesus and guides us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit, the water of Christ's baptism, and the blood of his death on the cross, all bear witness that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ of Israel and the divine Son of God. If the testimony of godly men is trustworthy, much more is the testimony of God himself, for the testimony of God concerning his Son Jesus is greater. Besides the external testimony, John also speaks about the internal testimony. He says that a believer in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. God testifies within every believer to the truth of his word concerning his Son. If someone refuses the testimony of God regarding his Son, then he makes God a liar. John highlights the blessing of internal testimony, saying, "And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." The message of the testimony is that God gives us eternal life in his Son, Jesus. Only those who are in his Son through faith have eternal life. There is no life outside of this God-man, Jesus Christ. Summarizing what has been said about testimony, we can say, the testimony of the apostles, the life of Jesus, and the work of the Spirit testify that God has given us life in his Son. This testimony is in stark contradiction to all who teach that God's Son did not suffer in the flesh, or that he comes to us apart from the flesh of his humanity. John is coming to the conclusion of his first letter. He writes in chapter 5, verses 13 to 17. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin. But there is sin that does not lead to death." All that John wrote to the Christians in his day, the Gospel and the letter, aimed their salvation and inheritance of eternal life. After all, the ultimate aim of Jesus coming into this world was to deliver sinners from death and restore them to eternal life. So also the ultimate aim of all believers in the name of the Son of God is to have eternal life. John assured his readers, and assures us, that eternal life belongs to all who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. John also makes some comforting remarks about prayer. He states that we can be absolutely confident that if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. God knows how to give good gifts to his children. We do not always know what to ask, but his will is always for our salvation and for the salvation of all. We submit our requests to God with confidence and pray, "Your will be done." God will give whatever we ask if it is good for our eternal well-being. Scriptures teaches us to pray not only for ourselves, but also for others. The Apostle John encourages us to pray for brothers who sin. He distinguishes between sin not leading to death and sin that leads to death. What is the difference between one and the other? Any unrepented sin leads to death. But if a believer is open to repentance and to God's forgiveness, his sin will not lead to death. So sin not leading to death is a sin of which a sinner repents and trusts in Jesus' forgiveness. On the other hand, sin that leads to death is any sin of which a sinner does not repent and does not trust in Jesus' forgiveness. John also says, all wrongdoing is sin. That means that any sin leads to death if it is not forgiven. The children of God repent of all sin. They hate their sin and the weakness of their human nature. But when they fall into sin, they know that they have Christ who prays for them and offers forgiveness to them. This passage about sin not leading to death and sin that leads to death has been misinterpreted and consequently resulted in false teaching. It has been argued that there are 7 deadly or mortal sins: pride, covetousness, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, and sloth. It has also been argued that there are venial or forgivable sins. However, Scriptures teaches that all sins condemn a sinner. Out of love and mercy, God forgives repentant sinners. The Apostle says that if we ask for brothers who commit a sin not leading to death, that is, who repent and believe in Jesus, God will give them life. The Apostle also states that we should not pray for sinners who commit sin that leads to death. Praying for one who commits sin leading to death is pointless because the person refuses to repent and confess Jesus as the Christ and the Son of God. There is no point in asking God to forgive that person who stands condemned by his own stubborn unbelief and refusal of God's love. The final words of John's first letter are recorded in chapter 5, verses 18 to 23. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In these verses, John summarizes some of the main themes developed in the letter. Children of God, reborn through baptism and the Word, strive to lead a godly life. They do not keep on sinning deliberately. If we abide in God's Word, Jesus remains in us and guards us from the evil one, so that the devil cannot touch us. John reminds us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. All unbelievers are under the dominion and control of Satan. However, God is above Satan. He sent Jesus to overcome Satan and to rescue sinners from the power of the evil one. Thankfully, God made known to us his Son Jesus Christ, and through Holy Scriptures gives us understanding that Jesus is true, and that he is our Savior. Through faith we are in Jesus, and he is in us. John makes a remarkable statement concerning Jesus, saying, he is the true God and eternal life. This statement defines and identifies Jesus. Jesus is divine. He is the Son of God, very God of very God. Jesus is eternal life. By his resurrection, Jesus overcame death and restored sinners to life never ending. We shall cling in faith to Jesus, and to Jesus only. The Apostle closes his letter exhorting his readers to keep themselves from idols. They shall remain faithful to Jesus as the only and sufficient Savior. This Jesus, the true God and eternal life, is for you and for me. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.